Hi Razor community, and thanks for joining us for another episode of the Razor Sharp Show, where we all hang out to stay sharp. We are your hosts, Ray Milodoni and Matt Romania. Matt, can you share why our podcast exists?
Our podcast exists to educate, inspire, and motivate you to help you reach your goals and make a positive impact in the world.
That's right. And we just love making our podcast every week and want to thank you, our listeners, for all the ongoing support you have shown. If this is your first time listening, well, welcome to the Razor community.
So if you want to move the needle forward and get closer to your goals, stick around as you're going to enjoy this. Hello, Razor community, and welcome to another raw edition of the Razor Sharp Show. My name is Matt Romania, and as always, I'm joined by Ray Milodoni. Ray, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. Awesome. Very well.
It's good. Excited to get into the fifth P of podcasting.
I'm always excited to be talking podcasting, Matt.
Yeah, I know. So for those who haven't followed the six P's journey yet, we're covering each one in a specific episode to give it the time it deserves, I suppose. And we've covered one through four. So if you haven't listened to those yet, do go back and check them out. P number four was produce. And so I think now we're up to number five. So it's time to publish your podcast and start publishing your first batch of episodes. So, Ray, how do we go about making a podcast live?
Well, this is the exciting part. This is where it gets very nerve-wracking, and you actually have to submit your podcast for review to iTunes. So iTunes obviously is one of the biggest platforms and possibly the, you know, go-to source of truth when it comes to podcasts. As we all know, a lot of the apps will look at their database to know what podcast exists. And so we found that submitting to iTunes is the place to kind of go. But there's a few little, hurdles that can happen. And I'd love to just share with the Razor community and people listening who want to start a podcast some of our learnings and, basically what to do. Now, the fortunate thing is that it's very simple because iTunes hasn't really, evolved much when it comes to podcasting. Their platform to submit your podcast is very lean. And when I say lean, it is literally like a white website with a couple of buttons and a form and a submit. And then that's basically it. So it's very easy to do. Now, if you're using a host like Omni, they will provide you with what's known as an RSS feed, which is basically tells iTunes where your podcast lives and all the descriptions and the show name and everything about your podcast. And all the podcast hosting platforms will give you this, and basically you log into what they call iTunes Connect, and it's kind of located at itunesconnect.apple.com or podcastsconnect.com.au, and those links will be in the show notes. And you have to log in with your Apple account, so you do need to be an Apple user, unfortunately, and if you're not, you have to create one just to get into this platform. And then there's a very simple form, and it's probably the most nerve-wracking form because, you know, that's the start of what's going to be an amazing journey of podcasting. And a lot of the people that we help with getting their podcast launched, this is the part that kind of makes them get nervous and, things are about to get real, And so you submit it for review. And this is what a lot of people don't know, and you should really kind of think about if you're starting to launch a podcast and you had like a date, you should be doing this at least a week beforehand, because there can be up to 2 or 3 days of a waiting period before your podcast is actually accepted. It goes through manual curation. So people are looking at the podcast and they're checking that your artwork has got, is neat and tidy. And hopefully if you've been following the six P's, you should have no problem getting your podcast approved straight away. But there is a delay. So don't do the mistake of saying, I'm going to launch on Monday and submit it on Monday and then realize that your show actually doesn't go out to the universe until Wednesday. And then there is the unfortunate event that you might get knocked back. So the status goes to, I think it's the act, not approved or needs attention. And they'll give you feedback of what kind of needs to happen. But what you're looking for the green light and for your podcast status to change from pending to active. And at that point, your podcast is live and ready for everyone to subscribe, download, and leave reviews. And so that's the exciting part.
Yeah. And if I remember correctly, Ray, We didn't get an email or any sort of notification to say that our podcast has been approved. So we kind of you kind of need to log in, you know, every day just to check the status. Because obviously if you don't get approved, you want to know straight away. And if you do, then that's all systems go to start planning something around your launch.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. We didn't get an email. Now, whether that was a glitch or whether it went into a spam filter, I'm not sure. But I do know that I was, you know, watching it and pushing refresh, and all of a sudden it was active. And I was like, oh, some notice would have been nice. And so that was basically what we did there. And another little trick as well is that you don't want to be submitting for review too early, because as we all know, iTunes has a section called New and Noteworthy. And from the information that we're read, and it's a little bit unsure of how this works, but you know, the basis is that the first 8 weeks of you launching a podcast, iTunes is going to be watching what kind of download activities, reviews, and you know, interaction with your podcast you get, and they could feature you as a new and noteworthy podcast. And so that 8 week window is really important. So you don't want to submit too early and then chew up a week where you're not actually driving traffic or getting people to subscribe and download your podcast. So that's another, you know, you kind of really need to do it at that very fine moment, not to lose too much time, but also not to miss the boat of your actual launch date.
Mm. And I often get the question, and I know we get the question after someone has submitted their podcast to iTunes, you know, Apple iTunes, which is fine. So people with Apple devices can, you know, listen to your podcast or on their phone and that sort of thing. I often get the question, well, what about Android users? So I thought it'd just be worth mentioning that when you go through the publishing process, say via your host like Omni Studio and connected up to iTunes, then there are things called podcast players on Android devices at the moment, which are getting heaps of downloads, mainly because at the moment Android doesn't have a native podcast player. So you have to actually download something like Podcast Addict or Pocket Casts, or there's, you know, plenty to choose from, and you know, they all vary slightly, so you want to kind of explore the one that kind of suits you. But in terms of Android users, once you've submitted your podcast and you've been approved, you know, by iTunes, and you just go about publishing your episodes through Omni, then you'll also appear in those Android players. So there's no separate way to submit your podcast to Android devices at the moment. I know Google Play is testing, as we record this episode, the ability to submit podcasts if you're US-based, but they're still not doing anything with them at this point in time. So it's a very kind of like watch and see what evolves from that. But yeah, it's not cause for concern. If you've submitted and been approved on the iTunes level, then you can be rest assured that people with Android devices can still access your podcast.
Yeah, and that's one of the beauties about podcasting as well, is that you do the work in one location and a lot of the rest of it is just kind of syndicated through the RSS file. Mm. So even submitting to Stitcher or SoundCloud and things like that, the, you know, podcast directories, a lot of them will just want your podcast RSS feed, and everything else happens on autopilot. So when you upload a new episode, it automatically just appears on all these platforms. So you don't have to go and upload your podcast in multiple spaces. But for us, you know, we just kind of think when you're first launching, go on the Podcast Connect for iTunes, because that's kind of where everyone's kind of hanging out and downloading podcasts, and then maybe put it on one or two. I think we went to Stitcher. Is that right?
We went to Stitcher, and we've also gone on TuneIn, which have a lot of app downloads, and that's kind of the app that seems to be put into a lot of cars as well. So, right, like, you know, as Ray said, it's only a matter of submitting. I think TuneIn was submitting your RSS URL, which you get from your hosting provider, and your artwork, and then with TuneIn specifically, you also have to give, you know, your title and description, but some will even just pull it straight from your RSS feed. So it was pretty quick process, less than 5 minutes to submit, and I think it took 5 days or something like that to be approved and started showing up in the app's search function. So I think, early on, obviously iTunes is a must. But, you know, if you've got 10, 15 minutes up your sleeve, I'd say you may as well look at Stitcher and tune in and submit your podcast there as well. Like, there's so many kind of platforms that you can submit to. And I think one day we'll develop a list of maybe like the top 20. There's so many. But from a starting point, yeah, we went obviously iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn.
Excellent. And so this is very exciting. The podcast is submitted. Matt, what about the shows? Like, I know you've been, you know, kind of helping the Razor Sharp Show along with the, you know, little tweaks with the titles of the episodes and focusing at more that episode level, because now the big holy grail of the podcast is submitted, but now you need to have all the little episodes. Can you just share with the Razor community, like, how do you go about, you know, the episodes individually?
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously, and we've said this before, and it's Ray, I know it's something that you like to touch on, is that you shouldn't launch your podcast with just one episode. It's important to launch, I think you say, with at least five or six episodes if you can.
Yep.
And so obviously you've recorded all these episodes and you need to allocate a title to each one and an episode description as well. And both of these things are pretty important because it, you know, allows your podcast episodes to be searchable. And, you know, it's I guess, a podcast search optimization, PSO, if we can coin that term.
Public service. Oh, no, that's a PSA.
Yeah, anyway, close. Yeah. PSA about PSOs.
Yeah, cool.
And so they're pretty important. A title, don't overlook the importance of a title. For us, we've, I guess rule number one is be consistent with your titles. Each one has to have a similar structure just to give it that consistency when people are scrolling through your episodes in the future. And I think for us, we went with put a component of the episode topic or theme into the title, as well as the guest's name. So having the guest's name in there will obviously increase your podcast searchability as people are looking for information about that person and obviously with the topic as well. So we try not to make them too long, but it's kind of the first, you know, probably three or four words are about the topic and then we say with and then the guest name. So whether it's leveraging LinkedIn with Chris J. Reed, just short and sweet where we can. You know, that's how we kind of started, or I think my very first deep dive was Overcoming Fear with Christian Stephen Martin. So clear topic and the guest name as well. But as we've evolved, obviously we wanted to build some intrigue into the title as well and kind of make it, you know, make the potential listener curious as to what's in that episode. And a good example of this, Ray, is your episode with Emily on what is a multi-potentialite, because I think a lot of people don't know that term. So the way that the title was framed was, what is a multi-potentialite and are you one?
You know, it was actually what in the world in the is world? A multi-potentialite?
Exactly.
Clickbait.
So it's that building intrigue, but I think as a starting point, make sure you've got your topic in the title and your guest name. So you want to, you know, make that format consistent through your, you know, we'll say first six, for example. And then you've obviously got your episode description. So in this is, you know, a couple of paragraphs about, you know, who you're interviewing. We try to put in a little bit of a bio about the guests and then also a little bit of what's covered inside the episode, and kind of a way that I try to do this to make sure I, you know, put in enough information that makes the podcast searchable and also, you know, builds in some intrigue is when editing the podcast or listening back to it before publishing, just having a listen to what questions I answered and then using that to form, what questions I asked and using that to form the episode description. But I think, yeah, title and description, two things that it's worth spending the time early on, especially for your first six episodes, because you kind of build the template in those first six episodes and then use that moving forward. Definitely, yeah, put aside some time to work on that when you're about to, you know, hit the launch button.
Awesome. And I guess one of the other big topics where it comes very close to the description and the title and is also show notes and transcriptions. Mm-hmm. And we get this quite a lot. And I think, you know, for me, I'm a little bit skewed because I'm not one to read a lot. So there is no way in the world that I'm going to sit there and read, you know, 300-400 word show description of a podcast when I could just be listening to it. But the important thing, and to link back to your PSO podcast search optimization, is that all these algorithms do look at your show notes and your descriptions for keywords, so that way when they're searched on Google and in the iTunes apps, that they can come up. So there is an importance to it and a weighting. I think for me, show notes are very useful when they have hyperlinks to the tools and things that they mention in the episode. So I might be listening to a podcast on the run. There is no way I'm going to be reading what the show is about, but they might mention a tool, and I'm very, you know, common to kind of maybe go and click and open that tool in a tab on my phone and possibly even email it to myself as a link so I can check it out later. So for me, and for what we've done with the Razor Sharp Show, the show notes have been really just top level. Maybe like if a book is shared, we'll share that resource and maybe a link off to go and, you know, buy that book. And then, you know, some of the tools and so forth. Some people would put affiliate links in these links so that way they can earn a little bit of money. We've played around with that idea. We've never actually executed, but there's nothing wrong as long as you're being open about and saying, look, these are affiliate links. YouTubers and all that do it a lot when they're going to recommend a product, they get a little bit of a kickback, and if that helps the show carry on and keep the episodes going, then that's a good thing, I guess. And if you're going to buy the product anyway, then it's a bit of a win-win. So, you know, that's a way of kind of possibly making a little bit of money from your show as well. But transcription is also another big topic for me. That's like, well, again, why would you sit there and read? And I understand that sometimes, you know, there might be you know, more from an accessibility point of view. So I think if you do have a show that appeals to a market that will need to have transcription so that way all parts of the population can interact with your podcast, I think that's really valuable. To spend, you know, when you're first launching a big chunk of your time transcribing, then that's possibly not a good use of your time. But there are services out there that can help you with transcribing. Rev.com is one of them, but it can get a little bit costly, especially if you're doing this out of passion and there is no money being made from it. But another little trick that we kind of learned, and we probably will play around with this a little bit more, if you actually upload the video version of your podcast to YouTube will transcribe the video for you if you tick the button to have closed captions. So you can then download that as a text file and possibly listen over it and make any tweaks that it gets wrong or any names and so forth that it misspells. So at least, you know, 90% of the work is kind of done for you at that point. But you know, for me, show notes, just really quick, simple, cover off, you know, some of the links and don't go into very lengthy article just at the start. If your audience starts asking for it, then by all means go crazy. And the same with transcriptions. And who knows, you know, maybe in the near future, a lot of these podcast hosting providers will actually offer a transcription service for, you know, people who, you know, may not be, you know, have all their hearing and need to have transcriptions so that way they can follow along and be part of the program as well. So that's the little tips of that.
Yeah, and I do like you mentioning to put in hyperlinks in the show notes. And I think something we've been doing quite well, and I'd suggest other people to do it when they're launching a podcast, is kind of find out where the guest wants to link to. If you've got an interview style of show, like just, you know, ask them for the best website of how listeners can get in touch with them. So, you know, you're also helping promote the guest, which we will get to in the 6th P of podcasting. But yeah, so links in the show notes are really important. And I do want to take a step back because I completely missed a really important element of episode titles that I'd love to cover off, and that is including the episode number at the start of the title. And I want to ask you about this, Ray, because from the very, very start, we've had three-digit episode numbers. So, for example, episode 10 actually reads 010... dot dot, whatever the episode title is. So I want to ask you, Ray, Why is that the case?
And for the listeners, the dot dot is a semicolon or a colon. Actually, it's not a semicolon, it's a colon.
Colon, yeah.
Dot dot. So basically, the episode numbers for me, I wanted to put out in the universe, I guess, as a bit of a law of attraction, or, you know, a bit of a mindset that this show will get to triple figures. Mm. So, you know, this covers me all the way, or covers, you know, up to 999. so that's fine. But, you know, a lot of shows will never go to that point, but there's not saying that they won't. But I think it's very important to kind of, for me, it was more about keeping things consistent. And the other thing as well is, because I'm a little bit crazy about filing system, it's a little bit easier to sort folders when they're all in the three digits, because sometimes you know, systems can group 1, 10, and 100 all together because they all start with 1. But if you have, you know, 001, it's very different to 010 and also different to 100. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was about sorting neatability, and also for the fact of, you know, getting the podcast to that number and just setting the standard that's kind of the goal, is to get it to triple figures.
Mm, awesome. I love that, yeah, mindset aspect right from the start, that it's a long-term strategy, and that really, I think, is setting us up to go past that episode 100. So I think that's really helped, and good advice there. Also, free filing tip for the listeners.
yeah, and it all breaks after 999. So
exactly.
Yeah, keep listening if you want to see that day happen.
Yes. Wow.
When I freak out about episode 1,000.
Yeah, and actually, as we kind of, We're nearing the end of this Raw edition, and, you know, we still want to cover off things like episode artwork. But while we've briefly mentioned mindset and, you know, pressing publish for the first time, likely my first episode with Christian Stefan Martin was about overcoming fear. So I think that helped with me pressing the publish button. But Ray, I wanted to get your advice about, you know, if our listeners are still feeling a bit sure about taking the final step to publish, like they've recorded all these interviews, you know, they've got their podcast artwork, but they're still feeling a little bit of resistance, like, what's your advice to them?
Just hit the publish button.
Just hit the publish button.
And pretty basic advice, but, you know, everyone, thousands of people have gone on before you to hit that publish button, and they survived through it, you know, and if anything, the grass is a billion times greener on the other side of the publish button. And, you know, hopefully you've been joining us on our journey of what podcasting has been and how it's changed our life and our inner circle and, you know, the events that we're running. And it's had a very big impact on our life. And I just don't think there's ever been a podcast that's been launched. And even if it is only a 10-part episode and it's only 10 episodes, you know, look at Serial and S-Town and, you know, some of the big Australian ABC true crime podcasts that are coming out. You know, they're all just set, you know, 15 or 12 episodes, and that's it. That's the whole podcast. And they go crazy and people love it, and they get raving reviews and they go number one in a few hours. So who knows what could possibly happen? But unless you hit the publish button,
you don't know. You
definitely know that it's not going to be the success that comes from it.
Mm. And the first, the four P's prior to this one prepare you for this moment as well. So with your built-in accountability, support, planning, understanding technology and the production side of things, all this will help so you feel well and truly prepared and, you know, a bit of a pro at this stage. Yeah, so another reminder that, you know, after this episode, if you're still with us, go back to listen to the other P's of podcasting as well, because it all ties in nicely.
Excellent. And just to, you know, put something in a very timely manner, while we've been on this call, I've badly been on my Messenger app, and Shiv, who is about to launch a podcast, has sent me a message saying, "Holy crap, just submitted for review." So, you know, it is a scary moment, but very timely and very fitting. As we're recording this podcast, some of our students and people we're helping with the podcast launch co are actually submitting their podcast for review. So I just wanted to share that, because it kind of like captured that moment in time.
Wow, how's that for timing?
I know. Perfect. It came in at, if people don't know, it's 11 a.m. here now, and it came in at 10:40. So Shiv is submitted his podcast and will be live hopefully very soon.
Nice. Not a paid actor.
So we'll see how that goes. No, that's it. That's it. So, but podcast artwork, I really want to cover this off before we run out of time, because I think a lot of podcasters don't do individual artwork for their podcast. They just do, you know, they just use their show artwork for the episode. What's your take on doing individual artwork for each show?
It's an important topic because by default, for example, in Omni, each episode that you publish, it will automatically, as a default option, put your podcast artwork as the episode artwork, which, you know, is fine. Like, it won't break anything. But I think there's, you know, an easy win here in that if you use Canva to create a specific episode artwork for each episode, then when it plays on a player or an iTunes or if the guest promotes it and all that sort of thing, it's a little bit of point of difference that'll make your episodes a little bit more appealing and demonstrate your guest focus. So ours are pretty simple in that they've got, you know, a border, which is our color green for, you know, to link it to our brand. The main visual, well, you know, the only visual really is a photo of the guest and then the guest's name below the photo. And so that's our episode artwork. I think it's important to do. Obviously, if you don't have an interview style show, you can do something similar based on the theme or the topic that you're covering in the podcast. But I think it is worth developing a custom episode artwork for each episode and doing this right from the start, so having it built into your kind of process. So when you're about to launch with your, you know, first six episodes, then you should have six individual bits of episode artwork that you can upload to Omni.
Excellent, excellent. I think the, you know, the thing is, make your podcast about the podcast and you and the host and all that, but make the episode all about the guest, even if it is that little 1% of the show artwork. So when they're looking at it on iTunes, it's their face. When it's on the Omni player, it's their face. And I think that's what's really important. If you look at our website as well, the featured image for each episode is the guest's face. And I think the rule that we've kind of played by is the show, the episode is all about the guest. And obviously the raw episodes, it's about us. And that's when we get to use our face and our branding for those episodes. So, yeah, make the show, the episode all about the guests, and I don't think you have any problems.
Yeah, that's a great point. And a good point to end on as well, because as we go into the sixth P of podcasting promote, it very much has that guest focus. Without giving too much away, but, you know, we've gone through the five P's and the last one is coming up pretty soon. And yeah, then we'll have the collection of the six P's of podcasting. And, you know, for us, these are things that we would have loved to have at the very, very start of our journey. And
absolutely.
It's just, you know, a grouping of all our learnings and mistakes that we've made and, you know, things that we've refined so that we can kind of pass that on and help your podcast launch as smooth as possible.
Excellent. Well said. And on that note, until next time, stay sharp.
The Razor Sharp Show is brought to you by Podcast Launch Co. Podcasting tips, tools, and coaching. Visit www.podcastlaunch.co.